Sunday service. Amazing stuff happened afterwards. God's moving in a big way. Well, I've been praying and I've been talking. I've probably talked to more people in the last 48 hours than I've talked to anybody in a long time. My office has been pretty busy this week. Imagine that. Pretty hot, pretty happening spot. But as I was praying and I was thinking and considering, God said to me, it's Wednesday night. It's Sunday night. God can't sow on unfertile ground. It's been these Wednesday nights. It's been the Sunday nights. Our hearts are being prepared. We're working on character defects. We're working on our heart towards God. And then when a person says, God, I'll draw nigh to you, the Bible says he will draw nigh to you. If you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. So as we start working on these issues in Proverbs 29, and also the last proverb we worked on, and then we come in and we read the book of John on Sunday night, we're saying, God, hey, we're coming to you and we want to be better believers and we want to be better people. And then we open ourselves up for the Holy Spirit of God to do amazing work through and around us. I think our church benefits on Sunday morning from what we do on Wednesday nights. I don't know if they're catching a residual off of that. If you don't know what residual is, please look it up. I couldn't define it for you right now if I wanted to. That means some extra that's coming off. How about that? Simple, simple analogy. But tonight, as we go through the 29th Psalm, starting in verse 7, I want to give you something tonight that if I had preached this last week, we could have applied it 5 minutes after the service was over. Amen? And if I had preached verse 8 and verse 9, we could have applied it 2 weeks ago and been like, hey, we know exactly what to do. So guess what? God gave us the experience. Now he's going to give us the lesson. Now the next thing, we're going to get a chance to apply it. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready to learn? Because that's the most important thing you can do, is come in here and hear a word of God. We've worshiped, good worship. Now we're going to get the word of God. Next thing we got to do is say, God, help me apply this. Because that's where the change will come. Verse 7 says, the righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Some of y'all don't know that. What I just said last Wednesday night, maybe 5 seconds, 5 minutes after this service, so we apply that. Some of you know, some of you don't know. That's fine. It's perfect. But I want you to get this. I love that it says, the righteous consider the cause. They consider the poor. All right? They consider. What do they consider? They actually take up the case. They actually look and examine at the case. I want us to start as a church and a ministry, as you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should have a heart for poor people. You should have a desire to help those in need. But man, that's where it gets tricky. Then you've got to become a person who listens to God, takes up the case, and studies what needs to be done. Man, that's good, right? Hear the info. Hear the information. Get as much information as you can. Why? Because you want to know, what can I do to best help this person in need? And some of you right now, you're already going about 4 steps ahead of me. You're going, well, I know what they're going to do. They're going to need money. And, well, are they really going to? If you're here in the situation and you're taking up the case and the Holy Spirit is working on your heart, maybe the first thing God will say is, don't open your wallet. Amen? Hold on a second. Something doesn't seem right. Maybe we need to consider. Maybe we need to hear more information. Maybe I need to understand the situation. Man, I'm preaching to somebody. Some of you right now are going, and one side of your mind's going, good, I don't have to give them money away. No, that ain't the case. Because there'll be times when God will tell you to give it all. There'll be times when God says, hey, don't hold back, bless this person. And you will pour out more than you thought you'd ever pour out to somebody if you're listening to God. But then sometimes God will say, this is not a situation. You're going to do more harm than you're going to do good. Amen? Make a discerned, oh, this word right here is good. Make a discerned decision. Make a decision that comes from spiritual discernment. Some things don't make sense. And I shared this with last week. I learned this. We had a guy come. Hey, I need some help. And I'm sitting there. Man, it took me about 2 days later. I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. He said, I've got kicked out of the hotel. I've been working up there. I got kicked out of the hotel. And we're trying to get to somewhere. And we need money. And the first thing, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. You got kicked out of the hotel? There's not a hotel on this mountain. Well, if you know of a hotel on the mountain, let me know. So you got kicked out of the hotel. And you drove 25 minutes. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? All right, so I'm sitting here thinking, well, man, praise God, we need to hunker down and start thinking in our spirit. Something's not right, right? Now, I'm not going back and grading, did I do this or did they do this? I don't care. I'm just telling you, sometimes you're going to have to say, God, help me make a decision with the information that I have. This is Proverbs 29. I didn't make this up. Matter of fact, Solomon wrote it, so he must have had the same situations happening thousands of years ago. Don't give quick help that might lead to severe trouble or prolonged trouble. Man, you can make somebody's life worse by giving them something they don't need. Amen? You know what, I got this thought. I said, man, here you give somebody almost a loaded gun in some instances, right? So the last thing you got to take a cause. You know what we got to do? We got to become wise. In what? Wise in where's the help at? Where are the organizations? Where are the help? Where are the people that we can, where are the things that we can connect this person to? Are y'all all right? Are we tracking? I don't know what you came for tonight, but you're going to get your wagon full of good information and you can go out of here and apply it. But I want you to hear this right here. If we understand that there's resources for food here, there's resources for clothes here, there's resources for fuel here, there's resources for money here, but you're going to have to go through these steps and guidelines to get that. And you know what I have found out in my life? If somebody really wants help and needs help, you know what they usually say? I'll do whatever you want me to do. Can I be really, really honest with you? Can I be straight with you right here? As a pastor, and I've done this for a while, been in full-time ministry for almost 17 years. You know what real help usually looks like? A secondhand party comes to you. Let me tell you the truth. A secondhand party is usually the people that walk in here and say, so-and-so's really needing some help. They won't come. But they need it. That's usually it. Amen? But when we get to this place, we've got to be so connected in our resources. And this is what I found out. Once you come up with the resources and you come up with the real help that's really going to help them, a lot of times, guess what they'll do? They'll find a problem for every solution you give them. Amen? They'll come up with another counter move every way. And you know what you got to say? I want to help you, not hurt you. I don't want to put you in a position that's going to do you harm. I want to put you in a place where you're going to get well. Manipulating, telling a story, fabricating truths, it's not going to help you and it's not going to help us. Is that good? Watch this right here. This is just in your Bible. This is in your Bible. Check out the rest of that verse, verse 7. Watch this right here. But the wicked regardeth not to know it. What does that mean? Man, I started reading these Proverbs a couple of months ago, and I'm sitting here thinking, man, I don't know anything about the Proverbs. I don't. I'm learning just like you guys are learning. You know what it says? You go to any major city in the world today, San Francisco, California, Chicago, guess what? They've got homeless problems. They've got people. There's a place in Philadelphia, you can walk down the street and people are literally standing there high. People are just living like all kinds of stuff right in the middle of downtown city blocks. And you're sitting there going, man, this is terrible. You know what the wicked do? Stick their head in the sand and go, I don't really care to know it. You understand what I'm saying? All these people say, we care, we care, we want to do it. Walk right through that and say, we don't even see it. The righteous are the ones who take up the cause. The righteous are the ones who look at it, investigate it, get involved in it. And can I go one step further? Ministry isn't beautiful. Ministry isn't pretty. Ministry will cost you. Some of the easiest stuff you can do is get somebody else. Sometimes you will have to wait off in the mess. Sometimes you will have to spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Sometimes you will have to go somewhere and do some legwork and figure out where is the resources that we need to offer. Some of the greatest opportunities when I was coming up in ministry is I learned where all the food shelters were, and where all the homeless shelters were, all the soup kitchens were. So when I ran into somebody and they'd say, give me $5, I'm starving. I'd be like, hey man, I can take you 5 minutes down the street to a place that will give you food, shelter, and clothes. And they would put their sign up, turn around, and walk away. You know why? Because I gave them an answer to the problem. Amen? I've also been in that same situation where I've drove up on a situation like that many a time, and God has said, meet the need they ask for. Don't question, don't hesitate, just give them what they're asking for. And you know I've told you this before, and I'm wrestling with them. I'm like, God, listen. They're going to waste it. He goes, yeah, you've wasted many a blessing too, brother. Amen. Sometimes you just got to do what God does. But the wicked of this world do not care. They don't get involved, and they will let people just die and perish and fall apart. But the righteous, you will have to take up the cause. And it's worth it. And we move right here off that just for a second. I want you to get this. Every ministry is worth it. If you ever get involved with somebody and you get the blood, the guts, the tears, the pain, the heartache, at the end of that, it will be worth it. If you see somebody whole, it will be worth it. If you see somebody sober, it will be worth it. If you see somebody living with their family, you will say, it is worth it. If you give the right help, if you give the right help, it will be worth it. As we move off to verse 8, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. This is such a powerful thing. We could have used this. The scorned. I want to break this down. A scorned person, y'all probably know this from a saying that's in a person scorned is never, you know. I want you to get this. When you have a scorn, it's a hurt. It's a loss of control. It's a loss. It's a hurt and a pain. The only thing you want to do is make other people pay. Amen? You want control. You want payback. You want somebody to feel what you felt. Y'all might want to write some of that stuff down. Yeah, I want somebody to hurt like I'm hurting. Amen? That's a scorned person. That's a person who says, instead of taking their heart to God and saying, God, help me forgive, help me love, help me realize that everybody's not the person that hurt me. Everybody doesn't have to feel my hurt. Everybody doesn't have to feel what I've been through. Golly bum, I might want to get my own tape on that one right there. Amen? The scorn, they have no rules. They don't play by no rules. Everybody is like, man, everybody else is seeking the Lord. Everybody else is going, did I read the verse? Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. And this, when it says city, I just want to say, put church in there. Put group in there. Put family in there. Put whatever you see this in. They are a snare to the group of people. They are a snare to the church. They have no awareness. They can walk into a whole group of church, a group, big, small, or indifferent, and they can look at it. Everybody's happy. Everybody's leaning forward. Everybody's doing, but they're hurting. They're mad. They're angry. They want it their way. Have no awareness. They don't look around and go, you know what, man, everybody else seems like they're happy. Everybody else seems like they're content. They have no awareness of what's really going on around them. No regard for good. They operate in the ears of people, and they bring in confusion and strife. They actually bring in confusion, envy, and strife. That's every evil work in those three words right there. Confusion, envy, and strife. If you ever find yourself confused, if you ever find yourself very envious, and if you're always in a fight, you're operating in every evil work. Amen? Those folks that are scorned, they see this, and they're working in the constant upheaval, the constant finding something wrong, always something, always that, always problem, always no awareness. I wanted to show you this verse. It comes out of Proverbs 6 and 16. If y'all will, go over there with me. It'll help you. It's a commentary on that verse. It's still in the Proverbs. So Proverbs 6, 16. Y'all might want to use this. This will help you in a great deal. I've used this in ministry. I've used it in the ministry here twice. I probably could have used it about a half a million times or more, or, you know, several times before. Proverbs 6, starting in verse 16. Say amen when you get there. Oh, man, y'all are good. Bible quick drills. These six things, do y'all see that? These six things doth the Lord hate. Wow. It's a strong word right there, ain't it? Man, when I look at that word, I'm kind of like, wait a minute. That makes me kind of perk up. I'm like, wait a minute. There are some things that God doesn't like. Notice from God, there's things that God don't hate. Six. Seven. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. Man, now, hey, hello. You might want to check these off every once in a while and use this as a mirror, because you know how many times God has hit me with that one right there? Have you ever gave yourself that proud look? Golly bum. Y'all want to have altar call now, or you want to wait? I mean, because when I said that, some of y'all are like, no, I ain't never done that. I'm talking about when you get a little bit into yourself, like I am something, huh? Look what I did. Amen. Right there is a proud look. God hates, you know why he hates it so much? I believe that's the first thing he's seen in Satan. Proud look. Thinking he's something that he's not. Amen? I think we always got to keep this under our mind. We're dust. Amen? We're made out of dust. Amen? Not even good Georgia clay. Amen? We're made out of dust. I think God done that on purpose. We were talking about that today. I think God does that on purpose. I think Satan and all of his angels, I believe they got together and they were going to, we can do them. And God said, I'll replace you with dust. Golly, man, I can't wait to get to heaven and show out like a bunch of dirt. Amen? He said, I can replace you. I can out-worship you. I'll find some dirt that will come into heaven and glorify me through the Word. Amen? Now, we're going to get new glorified bodies. I do understand that. But man, I'm gonna be up there in heaven. I'm gonna be like, man, I was dirt for a long time. Praise God. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know. God does pretty good work with some dirt. Amen. What's this right here? A proud look, a lying tongue. Write that down. Write that down. Get that right there. Get it. I know. There's some younger people sitting here tonight. I want you to get that. God hates a liar. That's another characteristic of Satan. He was proud and he's a liar. He's the father of all lies. Man, God hates it when you know what I found? Man, that's one thing that gets me now. I just don't lie. I don't. Hey, man, listen, you know why? Because for 30 years, I was a great liar. Hey, man, I was great at it. I mean, I wasn't just a good liar. I was so good at lying, I believed the lies. I would tell the story and sit there and go, oh, no, I better stop telling that story. That one's not real. Hey, man. Some of y'all go, well, guess what? That's just who I was. But guess what? When you get Jesus, man, you'll be telling the truth on yourself. Some of you young people in here right now, you need to hear that. Stop lying. Well, what if I get punished? It'd be so much better to get punished for telling the truth than to lie. Have you ever heard your parents say this? Some of you kids in here, y'all, don't lie to me. They don't even care what you did as much as the lying part about it. Amen? I know that because I'm a parent. I'm sitting there going, I hate because I'm sitting there watching. I'm going, dude, I know. I got all the evidence. Did you do it? No. Right? That's God. He's got all the evidence. He got all the evidence. Just tell the truth. The truth will
set you free.
What does a lie do? Keeps you in bondage. To what? To the story. You got to keep up making another story, another story, another story. Next thing you know, you're just a liar. And after a while, you're so caught up in the lies, nobody can trust anything you say. Amen. You're doing a good job preaching tonight, Kevin. Good job. And hands that shed innocent blood. Don't let anybody lie to you. God cares about the innocent. You don't get any more innocent than children. This church will never support abortion in any way, shape, or form. Period. Never. You say, what's going on with our nation? One of the biggest things in our nation, we have shed innocent blood by the millions. And God hates that. And a heart that devises wicked imaginations, stop plotting to do evil. I have plotted to do evil, and I know those who plot to do evil. God hates that. Listen, I'm getting somewhere. Feet that are swift to running to mischief, slow down with running to the wrong thing. A false witness that speaks lies, never tell the truth. No, never tell a lie to cover somebody else, period. Tell the truth, even if it would cost you everything. Verse 19, y'all ready? Here it comes. He that soweth discord among the brethren. When you are telling things and saying things in the church, in the ministry, to other believers to cause chaos, to cause confusion, to cause trouble, to cause, to get that, what I call it, to cause envy, to cause strife, to cause confusion. God hates that. You know what the Bible says to do to somebody like that? It says, cast them out. Get rid of the scorner. Amen? You know why? Because it sows and sows and sows. Go back to 29. This is so good. I want y'all to get this. That God give me this little cool thing to write down on the back end of this. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but look at the back side of this verse right here. But wise men turneth away wrath. If there's any councilmen in here, you might want to write this down. I'm not going to call you out by your names. And let's not just say the councilman. But if you are a member of this church and you've been a member of this church for a while, you need to take ownership of this right here. What's this right here? The wise men promote wisdom, promote truth and wisdom. They regard the good. They see the room. They are aware of it, and they look at it and they say, we're going to preserve the good. Now this is the part right here. I want you to see this. Proud and foolish men kindle the fires with their tongue. Amen. Proud and foolish men kindle the fires. Watch this right here. The wise and the good men must extinguish them. Did you hear what I just said? It's our job, men. if proud and foolish men set afire with confusion and envy and strife, if they are going to be scornful, if they are going to sow discord, there must be a righteous man. There must be righteous men who must extinguish that fire. They must put it out. You say, well, I don't like confrontation, and I don't like this. You know what I don't like? Split up churches. You know what I don't like? Innocent people hurt. What I don't like? Everybody walk around going, who said that? Who did this? Who done that? Who's talking? Who's got this current of going the other way? We want to be one mind, one accord, and we want to be saying this. If there's somebody in here who's just sowing discord, we need to know it. We need to ask Him, please change. Turn your heart to God. Lean into Jesus. We will be your biggest cheerleader. We will be your biggest fan. We will be your biggest help. But if you don't want to change, please go somewhere where that is welcome. But it's not welcome here. Oh, this is so. I'm going to jump because 9 and 10 go together. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The rage and laugh part got me. He says, no matter if you go to him happy and like, hey, buddy, you're gonna lose. And no matter if you go to him with tears running down your face, you're going to lose. Amen? Watch this right here. I'm going to move off this one pretty quick, but I wanted y'all to get this one because it's pretty cool. You know what? Do you know what fighting with somebody who is a foolish person? When a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, instead of just saying, hey, we're not going to fight with you, you either need to change or go. Watch this right here. It says, there is no rest. You know what it says? I got this little nugget right here. It's like fighting it's like fighting refuge. Oh, no, well, that's not a good word. It's like fighting a dung pile. All right, some of y'all got that one. All right, let me see. Let me see if I can really bring this one home. It's like fighting a pile of poop. Thanks, Emmy. Emmy was giving me the verbal cue of not to go any further than that. Poop. It's like fighting a pile of poop. If you win, you still stink. And you're still covered. And you're still defiled. And if you win, or if you lose, you're still defiled. You're still covered. You still stink. Amen? There are some situations, and I hate it in ministry, there are certain situations that you're going to have to look at certain people and say, you're not healthy. Either get healthy, or you're going to have to go. I came from a ministry before I came here. It was very easy and very simple. You could walk in a room and see out of 30 men, 30 men were fighting for their lives. I'm about to switch this on you, okay? 30 men were in there fighting for their lives through addiction. If somebody came in and was a cancer and would sit there and going, let's not take this serious. Let's just hang out. I don't like the leaders. I don't like their curriculum. I don't like what they're doing. They're too serious. I don't like the rules. They need to do this. They need to do that. You know what? Instead of 29 or 30 men passing away in their addiction, you have to tell that person, you have to go. You know what's great about that? Because some of you, and me too, said, well, church is not really like that, Kevin. Yeah, it's more dangerous. You know why? Because everybody who would check into a program like that, you know every one of them has an addiction. Everybody in here has issues, problems, and things. And we do a real good job a lot of times at camouflaging and them and hiding them. So if we have somebody in here, guess what? It'll be a whole lot easier to go. Let's not get serious. Let's not get too far into God. Let's just kind of like go through this. Let's just have a good church. Let's just worry about numbers. Let's be comfortable. Let's do this and let's do that. Instead of really worrying, then guess what? Then we'll have a lot of people who go to hell from a church led by people who don't care about souls. I don't like to see people leave. I do not. It is not fun. It is not. I don't get a smile on my face. I don't twist my mustache and go, oh, wow, we did. Here's what I do. Oh, my God. God, please break their heart, change their will, bring them to a place of salvation, and use them for your honor and glory. I don't have any, I don't get anything out of anybody failing. But guess what? Sometimes you have to look around the ship and say, we can't sink the whole ship just because nobody wants to go any further in this ship. In verse 9, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Verse 10, the bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. I should have read that already. That was the part I just said. The bloodthirsty hate the wicked, the bloodthirsty, they hate what's going on in this church. Hate what's going on with God. They don't want any righteous. They want this world to go down in a flame. But you know what I like about that last part of that verse? It says, but the just seek his soul. You know what we do? We run into the fire. We run into the storm. We sit with the ones that are broken. We sit with the ones that need help. We pray. We minister. We love. We encourage. We stand with our brothers and sisters. I used to think about this all the time. Here's where I'll close. I like thinking about trees a lot of times. And when I used to go to church in Mount Moriah, and they used to say, Bobby would always preach about the palm trees. I love the palm trees, right? The palm tree's root system is half as long down as the tree is tall. Amen? God knew that those trees would stay on the shoreline and they would face the greatest storms in the world. They knew that hurricanes would come. And they knew that the wind would bend them all the way to the ground. But the root system was dug so deep that when the sun came up, those palm trees were drawn right back to the sun and would stand up on beaches where hotels and condominiums and concrete buildings were blown away. But God rooted and grounded a tree right on the shoreline. And I used to think that a minute ago, I was like, God, dig me deep, put me down deep, and let me stand in the storms. Amen? But you know what God did? He's got such a great sense of humor. He said, no, Kevin, I'm going to put you with the redwoods. What? What are redwoods? They're in a forest, they're in a tree, and they're all standing together. They're not impressive as far as standing in the storms and raging to the storms. They're not impressive in where they're at. It's not a beautiful place other than the trees are beautiful and the forest is beautiful. And those trees are standing there and they're standing together. They're big and they're tall and they don't do a whole lot of motion. But you know what they say about those redwoods? They're saying that some of the redwood trees are standing there and one of them will be alive on this side, and one of them will be alive on this side, but there will be one in the middle that's been dead for a long time, but you can't tell it because the other two trees and their root systems are standing there holding it up just like a live tree. Amen? And I said that to say this, that's what the church should look like. We should be able to hold on to each other until we see good life come back. Amen? Until there's going to be seasons. There's going to be times. Some of y'all should have said amen right here. There's going to be seasons and there's going to be times where you don't feel God, see God, experience God, and you're going to need somebody who loves you to stand there and hold you up and say, I'm going to hold you up, but there will be a day when I'm going to need you to hold me up. That's what the church is. We're a bunch of redwood trees. We should stand up for each other, hold one another, encourage one another, love one another, And I do. I want you to come to this church. I want you to put your handkerchief on, grab your fork, and grab your knife, and come in here and say, I'm ready to eat. But praise God, I also want you to say this. Tonight, if it ain't my turn to eat, I want somebody else to eat good. And I'm going to come there to be an encouragement to somebody else. It ain't always about eating. It's sometimes it's about you just being here. Because your brothers and sisters will look around and say, where are they? Where have they been? Amen? Sometimes you just showing up and keep showing up will encourage somebody else to continue. That is who we are as a church. That's who we want to be. I wished at one time, in the greatest time that Jesus Christ, at the end of his life on this earth, there was one time they said, where can we find him? Where can we find him that we can take him and take him to the cross? And you know what? Judas said, I know one place. He goes to this one place. He's consistent there. He'll go there and pray and seek the Father. I want the enemy to know this about you. Somebody said, where can we get him? Where would we know that they're going to be? No doubt about it. Well, on Sunday about 11, at Sunday about 6, and Wednesday about 7, I know where they'll be. They'll be worshiping God, encouraging one another, and holding each other together.